at the Mishnah, New Perek. Got it?
No.
Tfilos HaShachar Ad Chatzos. Davening Shabbos.
No, not Lam Zayin yet. Still not that optimistic. We're Lam Vavah and Beis. Let's start from almost the top of the page, a couple lines down. Here about Pazi Boy, Boy. You see that? Should be three lines down, right? Right or Pazi Boy, right? Here Pazi asks the following question. Makos for Krisus Mar Min Bo Nani Tanoi. If somebody had an option, it's not really an option, just using the word loosely. Say an option getting Koriso or Malkus. So what's that loch in that case? In other words, somebody's chayav a Koris for being Mechal Yom Kippur. Or eating chametz on Pesach, right? Intentionally, right? They're chayev kores, so they're exempt from tashlumin or exempt from malchus or not. Okay, so really, in the Bavli, the conclusion of this question is that you are chayev malchus. Kores doesn't exempt you from malchus. On the contrary, so mila to get malchus in order to be exempted from kores. In fact, that there's although I never figured out exactly how it worked. But in the whole controversy in the 16th century about renewing the smicha, that the part of the reason why the Maribe Rav wanted to renew the smicha was in order to give malchus to those people who had been Maranos and had therefore committed all sorts of sins, that they could get malchus in order to exempt them from kores. Okay, I'm not sure exactly how we plan on doing that because I think you need Hasra in order to get Malkus, but that was part and parcel of the plan, part of the reason for that push.
By the way, Jewish secular research,
yeah,
there are different books that talk about the Dina giving Malkus.
Yeah, I know that. I'm aware of that, but that's because of Dina Malkusa Dina. In other words, we have the right. I think we even discussed this recently somewhere. When we discuss this in Brachos, where do we discuss it? Or here in Trumas. We discuss this that the basin has the right, if they get the power from the government, to use that government to be Malka people. That's permissible. I discussed it somewhere. I don't remember where anyone. But in any event, that's true. But this is a separate issue. In other words, the parameters of Malkus mean the rights, and not just the parameters of Malkus because Dina Malkus and Dina. So I'm Rav Yossi Tzricho Rabbanu. It's a Shiloh. We don't know. So says Gemara. From Rav Yehuda said, "Lama lo shamu lo min adat erishim b'ayil chai." Why we learn from that which Rabbi Shimon Bar Chai said? The Tanya Rishim Bar Chai Omer, Rabbi Tafin Omer, Nemra Koritz B'Shabbos. It says Koritz by Shabbos, Nemra Koritz B'Yom Kippurim. Ma Koritz Armo B'Shabbos, just like Koritz is saying by Shabbos, Ein Makos Eitzel Misa. There's no Makos in lieu of Misa. Av Koritz Armo B'Yom Kippurim, Ein Makos Eitzel Koritz, no Makos by Koritz. Now this would be, even if they gave you Hasra, even they give you a straw on Shabbos. They said, Yankel, don't be over Shabbos because we'll give you Malkus for it. Nonetheless, we can't give you Malkus. Because his shita is that since it's given over to capital punishment, you can't take it down to corporal punishment. So too, he wanted to infer that the same is true by Koris, right? Of course, I mean, Malkus says it's a Koris.
What's an example of Koris on Shabbos?
If it's not, if there are no Edim. Or then it would be Koris. Edim Skila, no Edim Koris. Okay? So, Amraimon, Kum Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Ma the Tzichon, now what you're asking the question, is Koresh Lakish. It's like Rish Lakish. Brown Rabbi Yochanan, by the way, like Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish we'll see in a minute. We haven't seen this Rish Lakish, so we'll see in a minute. But like Rabbi Yochanan, Makos Eitzel Misa Yeshlo, Rabbi Yochanan argues on Shem Barichai, it seems. Rabbi Yochanan says that even by Misa, though it's on Shabbos, if I gave you a straw for Malkus, you'll get Malkus. So therefore, Brank Rabbi Yochanan, Makos Eitzel Misa Yeshlo, if you have Malkus in the core punishment in a case where you could have gotten capital punishment, Makos Eitzel Koris, so Koris goes without saying, get Malkus in a case where you would have gotten Koris, which is even a lower Madrega. These Pagan, where do we have such Machlokas? And Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, by, I just read a line which you don't have, right? Michael said so, car slow coach, you don't have, right? But it means Michael said so, Chorus, because we're learning out to Chorus. The Spalgun, we learned to Machlokas. Hashogit also Vespino, Lashem Avodazara. Some is Shech to Noso Vespino. Okay? For the purpose of Avodah Zarah. Now he shechts the mother and son on the same day, and for Avodah Zarah. Maybe Yochemir, Imusro Bo Mishum Osov Espino Loke. If they gave him Malchus because of Osov Espino, he gets Malchus of Osov Espino. Hi, he transgressed, and this is the Isser Skila, right? Transgressed Avodah Zarah. So Shum Avodah Zarah, Uniskal. Do you have that line? Right, so it's the purpose of Avodah Zarah, he's stoned. Nonetheless, you give him Asr only for Malchus, he gets Malchus. Reish Lakish Amar, no. Afil Yisul Ba Mishum Osov Espino. Even he gave Asr. He warned him because of Osov Espino. Eno Loki, he doesn't get Malchus. Me'achar, Shu'ilu Ha'itur Ba Lushum Avodazor Ha'yan Isko. So since the words they have to warn him about Avodazor, you get stoned. So therefore now, he can't get Malchus. So according to Reish Lakish, we have according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's Poshut. If for a capital punishment at the hands of Beis Din, if they gave you a surah for Malchus, you get a corporal punishment instead. So surely if you would have gotten only Koreis, which is a lower Madrega, the capital punishment, you certainly get Malchus, which is the way, of course, we pass it. However, the question according to Reish Lakish is, there is no, by capital punishment, there is no Malchus, even if they warned you that you were going to get Malchus, so our Shaila is according to Reish Lakish, whether by Koreis there's Malchus. We haven't resolved it. Amrlei says the Gemara, the truth is, after Rabbi Yochum Tzrichalon, by Rabbi Yochum we can ask as well. Hacha Shnei Devorim. Why? Because we can ask the following, Shaila. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan says by the case of Osov Espino, L'shem Avodah Zarah, that since Osov Espino is separate from Avodah Zarah, so if you take away that Avodah Zarah, so you can get Malchus on Osov Espino. But, Hacha Dover Echa, the Shaya is by Dover Echa, what if it's Take, you said to him about Avodah Zarah, that he should get Malchus? In other words, there I can understand that if you didn't give Asura for Avodah Zarah, but rather Asura for Malchus, you give the Malchus, because the Malchus for Osov Espino is Take the proper punishment. And the only punishment, and the great, most severe punishment. But the Shaila would be, what about if you said, I want to give you Malchus for Avodah Zarah? That's our Shaila, and that's something we haven't resolved. Okay? So that's why we would have to resolve in Kodesh Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara doesn't give any conclusion here. As I said, our psak is that, you do give Malchus in that case. Adaitin Reish Lakish. Now, concerning one of the many cases where the Yerushalmi is utterly confusing, according to Reish Lakish Shita, but not the one we just mentioned. Rather, Reish Lakish Shita previously. Reish Lakish said, Reish Lakish said that if you're Chayim Malchus in a case of Shogeg, in a case where you could be Chayim Malchus, then you're exempt from paying. Right? Rabbi Yochanan said, if it's a case where it amazed you get Malchus, but you did it with Shogeg, you pay. Reish Lakish said that since you could have come to Malchus, so therefore, even though you did not, you still are exempt from paying. Okay? That was the big Machlokus which had of a couple of blad ago. Al Daita Reish Lakish Mabin Ilan Tanoi. So, according to Reish Lakish's opinion, that if you did a thing for which you could have gotten Malchus if you did it intentionally, but you did it unintentionally in this case, right? According to him, Mabin Ilan, and you're exempt from paying. Mabin Ilan Tanoi, what's between the Tanoi Muhold that Chayove Krisos are parted from paying? Those are the Tanoi we learned yesterday. There are a couple of Tanoi Muhold that if you Chayev Koris, you're exempt from paying. Le'ilin Rabbanan, according to the rabbis who say that a person doesn't get Malchus and pay at the same time. It was a chore, it's the same thing, right? Well, it's a very innocuous question. I need an afkimina. What's a case in which you can have a lav, but not have a kares? And that's going to be an afkimina, that if you say a lav exempts you from paying, then you'll be exempt from paying. If you say only a kares exempts you from paying, then you won't be exempt from paying. Where do I have such a case? That's a shaila. So the truth is, it should be very easy to find an answer, and it will be. Because all we need to find is a case where there are malchus and no kares, where there's a payment involved. That's all we'll have to find, okay? So it says, l'lavim v'lo l'krisus. right? Where's a such case that's going to have a lav and not a kares? I'm Rabbi Yudan. Rabbi Yudan said, I got a poshta case. It's an explicit case in, explicit case, oh, it's explicit? Well, it's a, it is in Ksuvus there, yeah. Bevoa mamzeres beneihum. The nafkamina is if you have relations with mamzeres. Having relations with mamzeres is only a lav, not a kores, right? So if you have relations with a mamzeres and she's a psula, right? You have to pay. You have a knas, right? Rape, or seduction. You have to pay. So that's a case, according to Pin, which holds that a lav itself exempts from paying. So you're exempt from paying. According to Pin, only a kores exempts from paying. You're not exempt. You have to pay. Okay, again, as we did it with Peshogig. So you're not getting a malchus, right? But the child's where they're exempt, that's going to be the nafkamina. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Chanina said, I got another case for you. Himtis Gdisha Shechaber B'yotav, I ignite your pile of grain on Yontav B'neu. The Isser Malach on Yontav is not a Koritz. If you do Malach on Yontav, you only Chayev a lav. So therefore, if you do Malach on Yontav, you ignite somebody else's grain pile, so then it's only lav, not a Koritz. Inlat Tanoi Savre, the one group of Tanoim hold that Maymar, they hold of Aimboim Koris Mishalim, since there is no Koris, you gotta pay. Vilin Rabbani, the other rabbis hold, Sarim Maymar, Hoel Vieshpo Makas, since hypothetically it could have come to capital, corporal punishment, and Mishalim, you don't have to pay. That's more if that's the case, Miato, Eluv Naras, Lok Rabbani. One of the cases mentioned there in Ksuvis, where you pay Knas, is Habola Mamam Zeres. So it's not like the rabbis who said, then a case of Malkus, you don't pay. It's really not like Rish Lakish, right? Because Rish Lakish, anytime you transgress an Aveir for which you could have gotten Malkus, even do Peshog, you don't pay. So there in Ksuvus, how can it say that you pay? So it says, Mar Amrei Masna, Ramasi says, no tipoter direct cold. That could be going like everybody. The Mamzer, and it should be Habala Mamzeris. The guy's a Mamzer too. He has no love. Since he has no love, and he's allowed to have relations with her, so that's why he's got to pay in that case. Okay? Is that clear? Yeah. All right, says the Gemara. Vesha, so now the Gemara asks.
So there's no Yisra before Majakura.
Isn't that a great cooler? There's no Yisra at all.
I'm not sure how people are going to run out and take advantage of it.
No Yisra at all. Yes.
But he still has to pay.
If she's it's minor. Which I mean, if he raped or seduced her, yeah, but he's allowed to marry her even. Mamzer and Mamzeres can marry each other. Okay, now I'm going to ask a question out of left field. It's a question not relevant to our sugya. It says there in the Gemara, it says there in the, Mishnah, that one of the cases in which you have to pay a knas is if you have relations with your sister, your husband, your brother's widow. Okay? So says Marisha Sachiv Lavi Vimtohi, I understand what's wrong with having relations with your brother's widow. Sister-in-law, right. You're supposed to have relations with her, right? Because she's now
assuming
this. Well, she's a psula. She's a psula, that's the whole point. It's only paying by psulos. So she's a basula, you have to have relations with her. It's a mitzvah of evil. So how can there be a charge there? So it says, Marti Potter, resolve it. It should be Sha'achiv Hayulobonim, that his brother had kids. Viris Isho Mace. And now this is his other wife. In other words, he had kids from another wife. This is his second wife. So therefore, and who he just betrothed. So then his brother comes and rapes her. So that's a case which is going to be knas. Okay? Let's go on to halacha base. Bas Cohen, Shenises Yisrael, the daughter of a Cohen who married a Jewish, a Yisrael, right? Okay? Vachakach Rochel Truma. She ate Truma while she was married to the Yisrael. Not allowed to, right? Mishlem is a Karen. She only pays the Karen. But she doesn't pay the extra fifth. And if she happens to be Mizanet when she's engaged to this Yisrael, she's burnt to death, as opposed to normal death, which is imposed on a Naramul Rasa Shazinsa, a betrothed girl who's Mizanet, which is Chenek. The Gemara of the Chumash says by a Kohen's daughter it's more severe. Nisa Slechem and Absulim, she marries one of the Psulim. She marries somebody who she's not allowed to marry, she's not supposed to marry. A Mamzer, a Nossi, a Gibbonite, a Cholo. So then, Mishlam is Karen V'Chomish. Then she goes there, she's not a Kohenis at all. So then, not only does she have to pay the Karen, she also has to pay the Chomish. Misaz Bechenik, she also doesn't get the more exalted form of death penalty if she's Mizana. The straight foot, she only gets chenek, so only suffocation like any other plain Jane. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chacham Reim Zubazum Mishamas Karen makes no difference. Even if she married a puzzle, she still pays the Karen and not the Chomesh. And we saw some straight foot, and in both cases, she dies by fire if she's Mizana. Okay, let's skip to the Moran, the top of Lam Zayin Moralev. Says more, Kani Mas Nisa. This is what I mentioned to tell you about. Zinsa b'sreifa. Don't think she's getting the sreifa for having eaten the truma. She's getting the sreifa if she's mezana. Now, continuing along that, my tanya, what's the logic of Rabbi Meir that when she's marries a puzzle law, she goes down a level, she loses her kuna status. So says more. The kitachel is nosa savia. It says in pasuk, if she begins to be mezane against her father, as she allows her to be savia. So it has the more Rabbi Meir learns, in order for it to be on the more exalted level of getting burnt by getting burnt to death, she has to be suitable to go back to her father's house. Meaning that were she to be divorced, the widow, she could go back to eating truma. Yotzadu, if, however, she had relations with a man who's forbidden to her, right, apostle, so Shaina will allow, so basically she could not go back to her father's house, and therefore she loses her status as a Kohenis. So says Mark, I don't like that. Nisa is the kosher, so what? So she married a kosher? Well, look, after all, I'll tell you about a girl's mizana, right? Nisus the kosher vizinsa, hareiruya lasal beisavir. Could she go back to her father's house? Anyway, she can't go back to her father's house. She's a zayna. She had forbidden relations. So it says more. What's it? The forbidden relations were the relations she had when she got married, or the forbidden relations were the relations she had now when she was mizana. The bottom line is that anyway, she ain't going back to her father's house. So what's the difference? So say, my kedon, how you going to learn this? Kitochel lisnos. When she begins to be mezana. But the way we darshan is that kisochel, when she's defiled by lisnos. Who's the one who's burnt to death? Eshechilu amachmas hasnos. A woman whose chilu comes because of the fornication. Not a woman whose desecration, whose elimination from the kuna came previously because of whom she married. Okay? That's the logic of Meir. My time, the Rabbanu, don't distinguish between a case where she married a Kohen, a apostle, or a case where she married a kosher, that regardless she gets burned to death. Says Moram Kibas Ish Kohen, says the daughter of a Kohen, Mikomakom, regardless of who she married. Mayat asks the Gemara, if that's the case, Bas Ish Kohen, Vafilu Chilul Amikano, even if she was a Chalola from her birth. Mikan in Hebrew is a Sakyor Veskano, is a basis or a foundation. So even if she's a Chalola from the get go, let her be exempt from the Sreifa penalty. Let her be chayiv in the penalty, excuse me, because she's the Bas Ish Kohen. Her father was a Kohen. True, her father relations with the divorcee or somebody else who's forbidden to him. And if she's a chalola, but she's still a Bas Ish Kohen. So Tani Rabbi Chinna Bar Papa. So Chinna Bar Papa learned Kumi Rabbi Zira in front of Rabbi Zira. I'll do Rabbi Shmuel based on Rabbi Shmuel. Now, what Rabbi Shmuel holds is not relevant to us. This Rabbi Shmuel is Rabbi Shmuel elsewhere in Shas. We're not going to get into it now. But Rabbi Shmuel, he, on the basis of a drasha made by Rabbi Shmuel in a different Masechta, where is it? In Sanhedrin. Okay? So based on Rabbi Shmuel Sanhedrin, so he dashes these following words which are extraneous. Esavia y mechalelis. Her father she desecrates. as shechilua machmas atma. She's got to be desecrated. She has to be somebody who was kosher till now and then desecrated afterwards as a result of this episode. As shechilua machmas atma, where the chil is something she brought upon herself. The lo shechilua machmas avia, not where the chil is because of her father. Where the chil is because of her father, then there's no sreifa. And so too, she's born a chalol, her father is the one who's machaler. She doesn't get burnt to death. However, that's only Rabbi Chanina bar Chinina bar Papa. Rabbi Chanina argues. Vam Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina said, Shoy nani al de Rabbi Shmuel. I learn on my understanding, Rabbi Shmuel, there in Sanhedrin. Vafilu chalola mikan, or even a woman who's a chalola from birth also gets burnt to death. Why? So says the Gemara. Well, the Gemara, before we get to the Gemara further on. Says the Gemara, Kavanoki explains that as long as her father was kosher, it doesn't matter. He doesn't darshan esavia yimchalelus that she is mechalel. That's not relevant. He just holds that the bottom line is as long as she had a kosher father, was a bona fide kohen, even if she was a cholel from birth, she still is in the category of a bas kohen who gets burnt to death. Her father had relations with a divorcee. That's, he's still a bona fide kohen. As long as he divorces her, he can serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. Okay. Vatnina asked the Gemara, didn't we learn? Now, it's an interesting case. It's later on in the Masechta. So the Gemara, the Rishama just brings it down to her shorthand. The case is a person who was eating truma, munching on truma, thinking he's a kohen, and somebody comes and says, surprise, surprise, you're not a kohen, you're a cholol. Okay? So you became aware in the middle while you were eating truma that it was a chol, that you're a cholol. Rabbi Elazar Mekhai of Karen Mechomish. Rabbi Elazar says you have to pay the principal plus a fifth. No chochmas, right? You're a sinner. Rabbi Yeshua Poter, Rabbi Yeshua says you're exempt. You don't have to pay anything. So said the Gemara from this wants to bring a raya from Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, right? Why? So Rabbi Chanina bar Papa said that you're not a kohen if you yourself are a you're not a kohen if you yourself are a cholo. If you're a chol, you're not a kohen, and therefore, if you're a woman, you don't get the death of sreifa. But here, Rabbi Yeshua exempts the individual found out that he was a chol from Keren Chomesh. He must hold that at least on some level this individual is a kohen, because otherwise how could he exempt the guy from Keren Chomesh? So we see some vestige of kuna there must be, not like Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. So I have a point in the main, but they wanted to say, in order to answer Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, ma pligim b'chomesh, that the whole child is by chomesh. Avo b'keren Rabbi Yeshua moide. But even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that the guy has to be a Karen, because a kohen is not, it's only a chol, he's not a kohen. Veloi, says the Gemara, the truth is, that's not true. That Avada, according to Rabbi Chenich, Rabbi Yeshua, is off the hook altogether. He doesn't even have to pay the Karen. But it's still not a kasha on Rabbi Chenich bar Papa. Why so? Because Ma pligin l'shavar. It's only if you already ate it. In other words, if you already ate the truma, in that case, Rabbi Yeshua says, since at the time he ate the truma, he was unaware that he was a cholo, then I exempt him. Avolahaba, but if the guy now knows he's a cholo, and then he goes and eats truma, even Rabbi Yeshua is more than, of course, he has to pay in that case. So we see from this that a cholo is certainly not a kohen. Why? Because if Chol knows he's a Chol already, you know, it's probably based on the same concept we have by Avodah. It's a special drosha which we have. Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem about Shevet Levi, Barech Hashem Chelo. That if a Chol was Oved, so B'dieved, the Avodah should be accepted. As long as the individual did not know he was a Chol at the time he did the Avodah of the Beit HaMikdash. So similarly here too, Rabbi Shua meant to say, Avodah Chol is not a Kohen. like Rabbi Chinuna Bar Papa. It's just, however, that since we have a concept by Avoida, that if the guy didn't know he was called at the time that he did Avoida, the Avoida is good. So to extrapolate from that to Truma, and we say since at the time that the guy did the eating of the Truma, he didn't know he was a call, so but the Avoida he doesn't have to pay. But a Kohen is not. And if he knows ahead of time he's a cholo, so then he's got to pay if he eats Truma. And therefore, when Rabbi Yoshua says, when Rabbi Yeshua says that he doesn't have to pay because there's a cholo, that's only when he ate before he knew it was a cholo, and that's no raya that a cholo is a coin. Cholo is not a coin. And Chinuna Bar Papa is justified. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Back to Lam Vav on base. Hamachil is bottom. You see that? How many lines at the bottom is that? Okay, by little gimel. Amach is born of ketanim. Somebody gives his minor children, besavodam, or his slaves, bengtanim, whether they are adults or children. He gives them truma to eat. Or ochel truma chutzlart, somebody eats truma grun chutzlart, though it's not real truma. Or ochel pomes mikzayitz truma, somebody eats less mikzayitz of truma, and it doesn't have, therefore, a din of eating, right? In order to be chayiv, you have to have a din of eating. Meshayim's keren, in all these cases, you pay keren, venom meshayim's chomish, and not the fifth. Vatashlumin chulin, and when you pay, since it's not a true payment, the payment remains chulin. Vimrotza akoin limcho, if the coin wants to be moichel in these cases, mochel, the coin can be moichel again, because in all these cases, the payments are not the bona fide payments for truma, and they don't revert to become truma, and therefore the coin can be moichel. And the Mishnah sums this up and says, Zeh klau. Do you have Zeh klau? Kol mishalim kerem chomish. Anybody who pays the principal plus a fifth, truma. At the shlumi truma, the payment is truma. Yimratzo koin limchol, therefore the koin wants to be mechol, ain't a moichol. Can't be moichol. Kol mishalim is a kerem, ain't a mishalim is a chomish. Anybody who pays principal does not pay the additional fifth, at the shlumi chulin, the payment is chulin. Yimratzo koin limchol, therefore the koin wants to be moichol, he can't be moichol. Okay? Let's go to the Gemara. Almost the Bible, Lam and Tzayim Rauf. Tanya. Everybody see Tanya? What we speak? You don't have a Tanya? Okay. Lois speak Shali? Lois speak Shali Machishtan. Now the truth is, why is an Eved exempt? The Eved is a Godo. He should have to pay. The only reason he's exempt for paying is because he's got no money. Mashkona Eved Kona Rabo. He doesn't have any money. So what happens? Lo yisbi l'shalim ad shenishtachrer. If the master didn't pay before the slave was released, no sin. The Eved's got to pay keren chomish. He's chayav to pay because now he's a free man. Even while he's an Eved, if he has his own property, which his master has no access to, no sin. He's got to pay from his own property. Okay, hey chavido. So ask one now a question. You know, do you have Hei Chavido? You lost Mrs. Zuger? Mrs. Zuger is there. Hei Chavido. Now the Gemara asks a Lomnish question. Why should the Eved have to pay? After all, his master gave it to him. This should be analogous to Reuven Chagaza Mishimon Peres. If Reuven stole Peres from Shimon, do we actually have in the Bavli where the Bavli uses Reuven, Shimon, Levi? I thought that's like the one. I never recall that the Bavli actually used the names. I don't remember anything. There's a famous case of Yosef ben Shimon. That's like more Bavli used a couple of times. I remember Reuven, Shimon, Levi. All right, anyway. Reuven Shigaz al Mishim, it's probably there, just never paid attention to it. Reuven Shigaz al Mishim and Peres. Reuven stole Peres from Shimon. Ve'achilon le Levi, and gave it to Levi to eat. So Yotze de Gzelo? Shimon exempt from paying? That's what you're saying here. The Adon took the Truma and gave it to the Eved to eat. So the Eved's got to pay? Who's the one who's at fault here? The master. Who's the one who's at fault in this marshal? Shimon! So therefore, why does Levi have to pay? Says more the truth of the Chorav, Hoplug the Rabbi Chia, Rabbi, Rabbi Yanayu. This should be a Machlokas of Rabbi Chia, the Great, Rabbi Yanayu. If I steal your apron, the nozzle is there. Same case. Reuven steals Shimon's apron and gives it to Levi. Rabbi Lezer b'shem Rabbi Chia b'Rabba, Rabbi Lezer name Rabbi Chia the Great, says Motzi min Arishon. You go to Reuven, you don't go to Levi. You go to Reuven, not to Levi. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yana, Av Motzi min Arishoni. You also get, you could have your, a choice, either from Reuven or from Levi. Be that as it may, we clearly see that you certainly only go to either Reuven or Levi, not to Levi exclusively, yet here in our case we're going to Levi exclusively, meaning the Eved. How do we justify such a thing? It says, Mar Af Rabbi Chia Rabba Moidi Hocha. Even Rabbi Chia the Great, yes, we're on Lam Zion base now. Even Rabbi Chia the Great concedes in this point, in this case. Why? Became Shnosa Levi Yotzedeg Zelo. By Truma, once you gave it to Levi, meaning the Eved, the master is exempt. Why is that? Not because the Cheshin Mishpat. But why is that? Because what is the Dimai Truma? The Eichel's got to pay. It's not comparable to a classic case of Gezel. In a classic case of theft, the thief has got to pay. But here it's not, you're not paying for theft. It's not reimbursement or compensation. It's Kapara Geld. So therefore, who's got to pay it? The Eichel's got to pay it. Who's the Eichel? Evan. Fair? Not fair. So bad. So what? He did Avera. He's got to pay. Okay? Again, not the Avera of the stealing. The Avera of the eating. Okay? Let's go on to the Mishnah. Shtei Kupos. You have two containers. Now we're going to shift gears. We're getting back to Bitul issues. Shtei Kupos, you have two containers in front of you. Achas shel truma v'achas shel chulin. One contains truma, one contains chulin. V'nafla saw, and you have a saw of truma, which fell shel truma toch achas man, which fell into one of them. V'ne du lezim enof, you don't know which one it fell into. Harani oimer, I say, it fell l'toch shel truma nafla. It fell into one which contains truma. Okay? That's a very big kula we're going to learn about more about in the Gemara. As a matter of fact, let's see the Gemara right now. Okay, Tanya. You see Tanya, or do you have Tanya? We start Achas Mei of Achas Torah. Okay, I have a Tanya, but be that as it may, Achas Mei of Achas Torah. If you have one container which contains Tomei and another container which contains Tohar, Ani Omer L'Toch Tomei Anofla. I say that now neither of these containers is 100 to 1, because if it had 100 to 1, that would really resolve our problem. But I say that it fell into the one which is Tomei. And therefore, the one which is Torah continues to be chulin tohorim, and you can eat it without any problems. Achas dumas v'achas ein medumas. One of them contains already some truma, and it's meduma. It's mixed in. The achas ein medumas, the other one's not meduma. I didn't read the medumas, so if I have the right to say that it fell into the medumas, well, it already is a mixture. Achas yesh b'kdei laos. One of them has a ratio of 100 to 1. V'achas ein b'kdei laos, and one of them does not have the ratio of 100 to 1. Ani omer losa also it should be she yesh b'. To one which has in it k'dei laos enough to be mavatalit enough that fell to that one. I'm Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, now here you have a very fundamental machlokes in Reish Lakish Rav Yochan. Shlokish said, b'shein garbar v'ushiyesh b'shnir rov. All these cases where we permit this, these are called tolin. That I assume that the truma fell into one and not the other. So Reish Lakish says, all these cases that said tolin are where midoraisa, there would be bitter regardless of where it fell, because both of them contain a rov. Both of them have more chulin than truma which fell into them. So ever since midoraisa, it's bata regardless. So dealing with the issue of the rabbanon of not being bata, rabbanon were lenient and said, you could say it fell into whichever one is going to be easier for you. That's Reish Lakish Shita. Rabbi Yochanan Afa b'shem b'shtia rov. Rabbi Yochanan said, even though the other one does not have a rov. Now this bothered me. Why is that? So Ray he explains. Kavanoki says, because we're dealing with Truma's Manazel. So the whole Truma's Manazel is only the Rabbanon anyway. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, you don't need the additional kula of having a rove in both of them, so it's bottom midaraisa. The very fact that we're dealing with Truma the Rabbanon is sufficient. So therefore, even if the saw of Truma is going to fall somewhere where it's not going to have a row opposite it, I still say fell into the more advantageous one, and whichever one's going to make it more good to you, again, because we're only dealing with Truma D'Rabbanan, and by Truma D'Rabbanan we're more makel. Okay? Then it wouldn't work. Wouldn't work. You attack every problem. Right. You agree with Rav Reish Lakish, you need a row, or you might hold it doesn't work at all. Okay? Because the rice might not say tolling altogether. Michleva Shitasi the Reish Lakish. I believe that's actually the case, if I recall correctly. This is the last simen in that in the stuff you're required to learn for Smich and Yeridea. Simen Kuf Yud Aleph. So it comes after the murderous simen of Kuf Yud, which is the most difficult one. So by this time, everybody just zooms through it. When the Kuf Yud Aleph talks about the whole concept of tolin, if you have an Isser which fell into one of two pots, when can we tell this? I believe it's all based on the Rabbana. If it's the rice, we don't see tolin even if both have rove. That's what I think I recall. Okay? Milchava Shitasa the Reish Lakish. This it seems to be a contradiction. Reish Lakish is Shita. Also, now the truth is, again, the Yerushalmi shorthand, it's impossible to understand unless you know some background material. This is stuff which we had previously. It said back there in Perek Dalet Halacha Zayin. It said back there that if you have a fig of Truma, which fell into 19 figs of Chulin, and then one of those 20 figs fell out. So back there, Reish Lakish said, you can be Mekel. You said it's okay. You assume that the one which fell out is the Truma one. Here Reish Lakish is Machmir. He says it's not enough that it's in the Rabbana, and you need also a rove. So it seems that in that case, Tavan Omer is fake on Bata Barov. There he says that in a suffix it's Bata Barov, meaning that I say that as long as it just fell out, that's sufficient. Vachu Amar Achen, here he says, it's not just enough that it's a Truma D'Rabbanan, but I also need there to be a rove in each one of the containers. So how come there is so Mekel, here is so Machmir? So says Mar, it's not a contradiction. Taman B'Shem Garmei, there he's saying on its own. Vachu B'Shu Barakapar, he's saying name Barakapar. But it's not here Reish Lakish being Mekel, it's Barakapar who Reish Lakish is quoting. Michafa Shutasi Rabbi Yechna. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to contradict himself. Taman Omer Kula Nasu Ochiach. There he says, even if one fell out, again, one fig of Truma fell into 20 figs of Chulin, and then one fell out, that makes you only have 19 left. So there he's not Machu, he's not Mekel. Says they all remain Meduma. So why is that? So Tamanu Merkul Nazuchir says, since it's only 1 in 19 chance, so therefore, he says, I don't know that the 1 in 20 chance. So I don't know if the right one fell out. So therefore I continue to say, assume it's also. They all require proof that they're not the Truma ones. However, here he says differently. Why? Because I assume it's 50-50. So it's there, it's a 5% chance that the right one fell out of the 20. Here it's a 50% chance that it fell into one which is advantageous to you. So on a much greater chance, he's more Mekel. That's the bottom line, okay? In both cases, Truma D'Rabbanan. But Truma D'Rabbanan won't let him be Mekel in a 5% chance, but will let him be Mekel in a 50% chance, okay? Tanya, now we're going to learn some variation on that theme. Top Alam Chesem Rav. Mr. Zuger, right on the top. Tanya. Shtei kupos. You have two containers. Achas shel truma tmeya. One contains truma, which is tamei. V'achas shel chulin tar. One contains chulin, which is tar. V'nafla sa truma tmeya l'toch achas man. And the measure of say a truma fell. The measure of truma tmeya fell to one of them. V'edu lezim v'nafla. I don't know to which one it is. So which one is more advantageous? And yomei l'toch shel truma nafla. I say it fell. Say it fell into the one which anyway had truma. Right? But achulin yochul mikunim. The chulin has got to be eaten in mixtures, in batches, which have less than the shear of a kibetza. Now, this is a very interesting thing, which of course I'm going to explain later on, but I will explain it now. Moral says, tolin works to take away the problem of zorus. words that a zar may now eat it. A non-Kohen can eat it. But it does not take away the problem of Tuma.
Okay.
Okay? So Tuma they were more severe with. Probably because Tuma is the Raisa. The Truma is the Raisa, following Rabbi Yochanan's rationale. Truma is the Rabbanim is manazet, but Tuma is always the Raisa. So therefore, if you're the type of guy who eats his Chulin B'tahara, then you have to be afraid that perhaps the Truma Tzmeya fell into this batch of Chulin. So the Zarus is, I say, tolling that the Truma Tmeya fell into the Truma pile. So the, and he can eat the Chulin. But I don't see to say tolling vis-a-vis the Tuma. It's a paradox, but it's based on the dichotomy between the Rabban and the Raisa.
But that's just a personal chumra.
That's true. But, okay, no, granted, but we'll see a ramification which is not a personal chumra. But let's take this case. So therefore, vis-a-vis the Tuma, I have to assume that perhaps it did fall into the chulin. And since the truma is tamei, you don't want the chulin to become tamei, so therefore you make doughs which have less than a kibetza of flour in each one. Okay? So it's a paradox, but based on the different severities, that's why we have this paradox. Okay? You make small doughs, small batters out of them. Now, let's try another case. Nafla seo truma et tohera. A measure truma Torah fell, and it fell into one of two baskets: the one which has truma tmeir, the one which has chulin Torah. We don't know which one. So on yom tov show truma tmeir nafla. I say it fell into one which has truma tmeir, but chulin yochel b'tara. But here you have to be meticulous. You must be meticulous in case to eat the chulin b'tara, because maybe there's truma Torah in there, and truma Torah now allowed to again vis-a-vis the zarus issue. So Zahar is allowed to eat it, because that's only the Rabbanah. But vis-a-vis the Tuma issue, we're machmir, we say, you must eat the Chulin B'tara in order not to be metame the Truma, which might be, so to speak, dormant within it. Okay? Next case. Shtei kupos, achashel Truma Torah, v'achashel Chulin Tmei. You got two baskets. One which has Truma, which is Torah, and one which has Chulin, which is Tomei. V'nofle seo Truma Torah, v'dorachsmen. It saw Truma, which is Torah, fell into one of them. V'enio delu zayzimei nofle. You don't know which one it fell into. Ani ome, I say, l'toch Truma nofle. I say it fell into the Truma one, right? V'achulin yochu nekudim. And again, the Chulin here, again, mitzad, well, not mitzvah din, but the chulin has to be eaten. Oh yeah, mitzvah din here. The chulin has to be eaten. The chulin has to be eaten in batches less than a kibetza. Why? Because again, here it's truma tohera which fell in. So I say, when it comes to the issue of zarus, I say mistomet fell into the truma one. But because that's the rabbanim, when it comes to the issue of tuma, which is the raisa, I say perchance. What? Tohera's only in the rabbanim, right? Now. Finally, this case, which is the most extreme case, or Nafla saw truma. Is that what I'm up to? Nafla saw truma, tmeya. You have one bucket. Same case. You have one bucket which contains truma Torah, and another bucket which contains chulin tmeya. Okay. And now a measure of truma tmeya fell. In that case, forget about the tolling. Shtein Asuros. Okay? They're both Asur. Why are they both Asur? This is an interesting thing here. No matter where it falls, you're going to lose. You're going to lose something. Because this is Truma Tmeya, which fell into one of the containers. One of the containers has Chulin Tmeim, the other has Truma Tmeya. If you say that it fell into a container which has Truma Tohera, you're going to lose all your Truma Tohera. That's a problem. You're going to lose it, because now I'm going to say that the Truma Tmeya came to contact the Truma Tmeya to a Tohera, and it's going to cause the loss of it. If I say it fell in the container of Chulin Tmeim, right, so I have a problem, because then I can't eat the Chulin, because then that's going to be Meduma, because there isn't a ratio of 100 to 1. So no matter which way I go, I'm going to lose something. Since no matter which way I go, I'm going to lose something. So Chazal said, you know what, in this case, ain't toilet. You can't be toilet in this case. Okay? But, Manafshach, because again, he took Truma to Menafla Osir. It fell into the Truma Tosir, because then it makes the Truma Tomei. You're talking shechul enough losser, because then the chulin doesn't have enough of a proportion to make it 100 to 1. So therefore, I'd say that both of them remain also. Lama. Now, this lama is going back in the whole sugi, and this is the principle I told you before. Why do I say that I have to be makbid on the tumah, even though on the zorus I don't have to be makbid? Because sofik tome tome. It retains the aloch of tumah. Perhaps because, as I said to Mr. Reiser, sofik meduma mutter. The issue of meduma goes away. Why is the issue of meduma go away? Again, because as we said before, we're talking about truma derabanan. Okay? Let's go back to the Mishnah. Ein yadua. Do you see that line? Ein yadua is a shel truma.
It shows by not doing it, he just didn't want the first one to get it, and this is really
in the Mishnah. Ein yadua eizu yishel truma veizu yishel chulin. No, can't find. Come on, it's got to be there. Okay, he dropped the word Avo. He dropped the word Avo in my text by mistake, probably. In the sixth line down in the Mishnah, Avlein Yadur. You don't know Ezel Yishol Truma. Yeah, you trapped the word Abel. Avlein Yadur Ezel Yishol Truma Ezel Yishol Chulin. You don't know which is Truma, which is Chulin. Now you have the two. This is Stam, a generic case. You have two containers. One has truma, one has chulin. You don't know which is which. You don't know. If you eat one of them, you potter, because you say I'm mitzvah chaver lo v'raya. Prove that I ate the truma one. I'm not going to pay until you prove it. Vashniya noy baka truma. Then you have to assume that the second one is truma. V'chavis b'chala. But nonetheless, it might not be truma. So it's chayv and chala. The very mayor. In other words, you have to give it all chumras, right? Maybe it's truma. Maybe on the other hand, we say, however, that it's chulin every chayim chal. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi poter. Rabbi Yossi exempts you from chal because Rabbi Yossi has a shita, which is that meduma is always exempt from chala, and this is a suffix whether it's truma or not. It's the same like meduma, and therefore it's exempt. What if another guy comes along and eats the second container? So he's also putter, because each guy says, ha, the other guy ate the truma and I ate the chulin. However, and what if one guy ate both of them? Foolish guy. But since he gives a ken chomish based on whatever the smaller containers contain. Okay? Nafla achas men l'toch achulin. What if one of these two containers fell into chulin? So ain't no medam osan. It doesn't create meduma because I'd say that which is the one which fell in? The chulin one, right? Again, the tolin. Right. Vashnia noy bakatruma. You assume the other one's truma, but nonetheless, chavis b'chal diri meir, and of course, Rabbi Yossi poter. No, if the second one fell somewhere else, ain't a damas, and then it doesn't create meduma, because I say that it's the chulin one. Now, however, no, if they both fell into the same place, then of course I have no choice. I say damas kiktana shibishteim. It goes by the smaller one, but the small one creates meduma and has to be canceled by the shear of 100 to 1. Okay, it says the Gemara. Good score, the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Does anybody see Amar Rabbi Yochanan? By the asterisk? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Do you have it? The mayor, a bit slow tonight.
There's a big.
Oh, by the
you have it? Okay.
I was looking at the wrong asterisk. There's one at the bottom of the
page. Wishful thinking. Amar Rabbi Yochanan.
I'm always thinking ahead.
Rabbi Yochanan said. Meduma, you have the word suffix, it's a typo. Meduma is exempt from chala. However, Safik dimua anechal. This case where we're not sure whether it's metuma or not, mishum dema chay, which you can eat because you're not sure where it fell in, is chay b'chala. Now the poshim shan, this is he's explaining Rabbi Meir, but the Kavanoki is explains this even going in Rabbi Yossi, that he's explaining that not in our Mishnah, but rather in the previous Mishnah, where you had a case where where a seah of truma fell. I don't know to which in which bucket it fell. So in that case, I say that even though the czar can eat it, so then Rabbi Yossi is mechayev in challah. In other words, there's a difference between the previous part of the Mishnah and this part of the Mishnah. That's where Rabbi Yochanan is coming to explain according to the way the Kavanaki learns it. That in this part of the Mishnah, where I don't know which one is meduma. I don't know which one is truma, so therefore they're both in a suffix. Since they're both in a suffix, so they're both exempt from challah. But in the previous case, where I had two containers, both of which were chulin, right? And truma fell into one of them, right? Or rather, one which is truma, one which is chulin. And truma fell into one of them, and I don't know to which one, so I'm toilet to say it fell into the truma one, so in that case, the chulin one doesn't become exempt from challah, right? Because I'm assuming that it fell into the truma one. The chulin one retains its character being chulin. So therefore, there the chulin is not exempt from challah. So in this case, where they're both part of the same suffix as opposed to the previous case. Okay, do you have a header now? Ochel acher zashnia? No header? Okay, Rabbi Yochanan, you got? Rabbi Yochanan. Do you have that, Mr. Zuger? Rabbi Yochanan. To Rabbi Yehuda, our mission is going to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tzinyatawan, classic case, one of the most classic cases in all of Shas. You have two paths, and there's a kever under one of the paths. And what, Reuven went on path A? Oh, we don't know which path has the kever, right? Shnei Shvilin. Reuven went on path A. No, it doesn't say it in my text either. Say it outside. Reuven went on path A, and Shimon went on path B. And we don't know which is to who's tummy and who's tar. So Rabbi Yehuda Meravida says a class, again, one of the most classic cases. In Nishaluba Vasachas, the Reuven and Shimon both come to ask, and the rabbi at one time, they're both, you have to say they're tummy. Right? Because they're both part of suffering. Bezechazer, first Reuven comes, and then Shimon comes separately to Hechim. I'd say they're both tar. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Kachu Ben Kach Tmeyim, regardless, they're tummy. Even where they come together, come separately. So, b'mano kayamin. Ask Maran Rabbi Yossi, what are we talking about? If they taka came together, do I understand to me? According to Rabbi Yossi, they're tummy. But if they came there one after the other, why should they both be tummy? To hiring, they should both be tar. Because each one didn't come together with the other guy. So he himself has a suffix. We let him retain his suffix. So says the Gemara, Elokinanu Kayam. According to Rabbi Yossi, talking about the following case. Bebalisha love al chaveru. What idiots. Reuven came to ask about himself and Shimon. So that's the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Omrim lo. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we say to Reuven, Shaldi loch, ask your question about yourself. Vasilach, get out of here. Don't ask about Shimon. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kevisha Nishalu Shnein Keachot. Doesn't matter, since he came to ask on both of them. So it's as if they both came before us and they're both tummy. Now, our Mishnah cannot be going like Rabbi Yossi, because Hachanami Lav Kevisha Nishalu Shnein Keachot. Here, our Mishnah, they're both containers belong to the same guy, right? We don't know which one's Chul, we don't know which one's Truma, but they both belong to the same guy. So therefore, it's always like Nishlush named Kachas. They both came under the same, even though they don't belong to the same guy, they both came into the same suffix. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi could never say in our case that we assume that each one is the Chulin one in turn. Because it's always like Nishlush named Basachas. And therefore, our Mishkanah go like Rabbi Yossi, only Rabbi Yehuda says that we look at them separately. We say, even though the suffix arose together, we say, let's take each one independently. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Zara, the last part of the Mishnah. Zara Sachas, man, does anybody see that? Zoras Achas Min. You planted one of these containers. Potter, you're exempt. You assume that you planted the chulin. Vashnir no, you broke a truma. You assume the second was a truma. And Chayav Zuchal Tzchaim and Chal Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yossi Pilter again, because it's like Meduma. Zor Achas Hashi, if somebody else planted the second container, Potter, you're exempt as well. He's exempt as well. Zor Echad Hashneim, what if somebody planted both of them? So now one of them was for sure the truma. B'dovish is Zara Kalu, so this is the halacha. If you plant truma, and it's something where the seed rots, then the growth is mutter. B'dovish ain't Zara Kalu, if it's something where the seed does not rot, such as a bulb, so then also whatever grows is also. Okay? And here again, you have to ask one of the two. I'll come downstairs. We're still, I'll be down in 2 minutes. Says Mar. Rabbi Zira b'shem Rabbi Chia Barav, just want to try and finish the parak. Rabbi Zira b'shem Rabbi Chia Barva. Rabbi Zira said, "Nei Rabbi Chia Barva." V'ushazaris hashniat shlo katzar tzisharim. This is only if you planted the second one before you harvested the first one, so they're both in the ground at the same time. Avalim katzar sarishana atchlozar tzisharim. But if you harvested the first one before you planted the second one, that's a special kula there. Ain't told from Bechuber Nasochiach. There's not a sufficient paradox since they weren't in the ground at the same time. So even the same person planted both, each one in turn, he can say is the one which is chulin. So if they're both in the same ground, the ground at the same time, that I have a problem. Okay. Rabbi Chanina Tirta, B'shem Rabbi Yanai said, Batzel shel truma. You have onion shel truma shokro. You uprooted it and you planted. That's lavdafka. It means you had truma. It was out of the ground. You called it truma, and then you planted it again. Shomikiv and shariba love a chodesh. Even though it's a bulb, once you have enough new stuff there that it's more than the old bulb, it's mutter. Says Mark, you'd say such a thing. Losiv Rabbi Zira. Zira asked, Vatir, then we learn, Eshazaro kolim mutter, only where the seed rots is a mutter. Vadovish ain't Zaro kolim ulcer. So where seed does not rot, retain, remain ulcer. So Dovish is Zaro kolim mutter. And where, the thing, where do we say Zara Dovish Zara Kola, where the seed rots, it's Mutabriva of a Kodesh, where now there's new stuff there? It's Kavaso, ever continuing on that logic. Our mission says, Bedovish Shane Zara Kola Osir. But it's saying where the Zara is not Kola and remains Osir. Vafa Pishriva of a Kodesh, even though there's more new stuff. So what does Rabbi Zira hold? So fascinating thing. Our mission seems to be against Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira Kadaite. Rabbi Zira has his own opinion, though. Dom Rabbi Zira, B'shem Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Zira said, "Name Rabbi Yonasan." Batzel shel kilia kerem, a onion which is kilaim, she'akro v'shasul, which you uprooted then replanted. Afilu hosif kama os, or even if it added on, so then more than 200 brings down. It's also she'ein gidule isur malin esa isur. So why does this answer? Gee, I don't remember now. I'm confused. Rabbi Zira Kedaite. Rabbi Zira.
Oh, right. Oh, it's Rabbi Zira's asking the question, of course. Rabbi Zira's asking the question is like Rabbi Zira said in other places, right? Rabbi Chanina is the one who's Matir. Rabbi Chanina says Matir. Rabbi Zira asks the question from our Mishnah. And Rabbi Zira's question is also Rabbi Zira's name, Rabbi Yonasan, by Batzel Shokili Akarim, by a bulb which you replanted, that there too he said, even if it grows 200 times over, right? Even the new bulb of onion is 200 times greater than the old one, and 200 to 1 is the shear which is mevatel kilaim. It doesn't matter once you have in anything which is dovish ein zaro kola, that's it, it's osur. So again, on Rabbi Chanina, we ask a question from our Mishnah, and Rabbi Zira has another, not a Mishnah, but another statement named Rabbi Yonasan, which is against Rabbi Chanina Tirta, and the one doesn't answer, so mistomen remains osur. We'll stop here for this evening. Hadro locha echol mitmidit. And that's when Eretz Yisrael, the sunset is later. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Lavani Kroshma Tzula, why is it called Tzula? Why is Baba called Tzula? Shisham Tzolu Meisei Dor Mabu. Because there fell down all those people who died in the Mabu. Gambe Bavel Nipo Chalol Yisrael, how do we know that? Because it says, also Bavel fell the casualties of Israel. Gam bebavel nafu chalei karet, and also in Babel fell the casualties of all the land. Who are the casualties of all the land? Those are the casualties of the Mabul. Ksiv, it says. No, Adrav, Mabul is not in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Menachos has the opinion that it was not in Eretz Yisrael. Not Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Vayim to Bikar Be'eretz Shinar. They found a valley in Shinar by Eish Mosham, and they sat there, and that's where they built Migdal Bavel. Amrei Shlokish Lomini Kroshma Shinar. Why is it called Shinar? Shisham Ninaru Meise Dor Mabul. That's where the debut from Dor Mabul were shaken down to. Dov Racher, another interpretation. Shinar means Shemesim B'Tashnuk. People who die in Babel, they die in affliction. Tashnuk is a fascinating word. I have no idea where it comes from, but it means they die in affliction. Bloner v'lomerchas. They don't have decent candles in Babel, because they don't have olive oil. They only have sesame oil. Olives are indigenous to Eretz Yisrael, not to Babel. And they don't have decent bathhouses. I'm not sure why they don't have decent bathhouses. Maybe because they have so many rivers, they never bother building bathhouses. In any event, the Mashbiach says from here comes, cute, I don't think it's true, but it's cute. He says from this Gemara comes the Minhag, that when a person dies, you do a tar on him, and you light candles by his body. Because since Rabbi Yochanan said, people die in Bavel without baths, and without candles, it means, from this we derive, that it must be when you die, you're supposed to get a bath, that's the Tara, and a candle, that's lighting the candles in the presence of the dead body. Okay? Says the word of Rach, another interpretation, Shinar means, bear in mind, these are the Usha, the Israelis denigrating the Babylonians. Shinar, Shemanuar, mina mitzvahs, they are shaken free of mitzvahs, they don't do any mitzvahs there. How so? Below Truma, below Maisa, and Truma, and Maisa, and Bobo. Dover Acher, no interpretation, Shinar, Shesorel, Mesim, Norim. Its officers die young. In other words, people have their lower life expectancy in Bobo. Saddam Hussein was killing them all the time. Dover Acher, Shinar, Shemidu, Sonei, the air. There stood up there an enemy and an opponent. Air is somebody who's Kore Aru, who complains about Kodesh Baruch Hu. Veza said, who is that? Nebuchadnezzar HaRosh. Let's just go a little bit further. Rav, now, here, Rav, we say, Rav Krabi Yehuda. The Kripnei Moshe says that this means, like he said before, Rav really holds a Plaga Mincha. Rav Yehuda said in the Mishnah, Plaga Mincha. Rav also holds a Plaga Mincha. What was his Plaga? But which Plaga Mincha did he go by? The Plaga Mincha in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why he would daven with Dimdume Chama and Chutzlaret in order to go like the Plaga Mincha in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara. Well, that, I'm sorry, not the Gemara. Says that's one interpretation. That's the Pnei Moshe interpretation. How do we interpret it? Let me just check. Maybe the Mashbiach was here. Wasn't here either. So the Charedim says that. Charedim says there is an ikud amri. In other words, there's those who say that not that Rav Davin Dume Chama like the mice we had before, but rather that Rav Taka Davin like Rabbi Yehuda before Plaga Mincha. And it makes sense that in Eretz Yisrael they would have two versions because Rav was in Bavel, so they weren't sure when he davened. Did he daven at the time of Plaga Mincha, which is this interpretation, or he daven with Dimdu Mechama, like we said before? Says what? In Tavine Karabonon, Leis Rabbi Yehuda Moide. The bottom line, however, is why would Rav do like Rabbi Yehuda? Because if you do like Rabbanon, you don't fulfill Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because if you daven like Rabbanon, you daven after Plaga Mincha. That's bad according to Rabbanon. But in Rabbanon, I'm sorry, late Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't concede. In Tabinik Rabbi Yehuda, but if you do like Rabbi Yehuda, Af Rabbanon Moide. If Rabbanon say he did it good, In other words, if you daven before Plag HaMincha, you're not doing anything against Rabbanan, and you're being Mekayim Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, it's always advantageous to daven before Plag HaMincha, because then, Manav Shach. Rabbi Yehuda is not Rabbi Yehuda, you'd say, and Rabbanan are not upset at you for doing it. However, you daven after Plag HaMincha, then you lost Rabbi Yehuda. You still have Rabbanan to rely on, but you lost Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, this interpretation would hold, this Ikodamri would hold, that it's always better daven before Plag, not with Dimdum Echama, in order to be Yoytze the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, says more Minayin or Ne'ilah. Till now we've talked about Shachris Mincha Musaf. How do we know about Ne'ilah? Rabbi Lehi Rebbe said, Gam ki kar tabu tefila. It says, also if you daven a lot, I'm not going to listen to you. You can't, from here we learn though, that normally, that was a klola which Yishai gave. That's from the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon. But normally it means, we can't call a marba b'tfila nana. If you daven a lot, you get answer. Sefer, when we want to be answered by Hashem, we daven a lot, we tack on an extra tefila, nila. Machlefa shita say the Rabbi Levi. This is the opposite of Rabbi Levi's normal shita. Taman we learned, oh, over there, Rabbi Abba Bray, Rabbi Papi, and Rabbi Shur, the Sichlin said, B'shem Rabbi Levi, B'chol etzev yeh moisar, with all, I forgot how to translate this pasuk. With all sadness will be extra, but that must mean something else. But that's not important right now. What's important is the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk says, "V'dvars v'saim achle machzor." The words of the lips are for a shortcoming. Rabbi Levi said, "Chana ideisha reaps of betfila." Chana said she davened so much. Kitzur yom of shushmul, she made Shmuel live a shorter life. But there's such a 52, right? There's such a thing as davening too much. Here, Rabbi Levi said, "Ani tainis, daven as much as possible." But somewhere else, Rabbi Levi said, "Don't daven too much." Where do we see that? Shomra, she said, "V'yeshiv shomad olam." She said to God, "Let him be in the Mishkan forever." Balo eno lomo shel Levi el chamishim shana. Well, what's forever for a Levi? 50 years. The Chassid, as it says, when we ban chamishim shana yashu mitzvah avoda. At 50, Levi retires from working the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, she said, "Let him be by in the Mishkan for 50 years." He got there when he was 2. How long did he live? 52 years. Va'avilei chamishim tardi at 52 years. Am Rabbi Yosi Breibun Stein Shegmalosu. It's actually it's a kasha. I didn't have 52. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak by Rabbi Bone. Stein Kushmaglatu. So 2 years till she weaned him, and then he had 50 years on top of that. V'kol Marachet. That's Rabbi Levi Shita over there. You shouldn't daven too long. And here she says you're supposed to daven a long time. Here he says this. How do you reconcile Rabbi Levi? Says more, I omra kain liyachid. If he said he shouldn't daven too long, that's for yachid. But hey, letzibor, you daven with the tzibor, they have much more schuyos, they can daven as much as they want, and that's why we daven shul, they should daven a long davening. At least on the tainus. Mechim v'shem Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Shimon Klav said v'shem Meir, but for yachid, here besol ifnei, v'ispal ifnei Hashem, they said on the contrary. When Chana davened a lot before God, she was answered. We can't for him. We see she called Marba Bitfilo Nana. Anybody who davens a long davening is answered. So I guess there are different perspectives. And the truth is, Eilu Veilu Tiver Lokim Chaim. Sometimes davening long is good, but sometimes if you daven long and you come across as being too demanding, so it's probably a kitrug against you, and sometimes it works against you as it works against Chana and Shmuel. Reading.